sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right. It is a Mad Dog Monday, Reaction Monday, a Victory Monday with the Houston Texans. But we talked about the Texans a ton, and we will obviously continue to get their Remember program. You know, 5 o'clock, you will hear the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. But the Astros had a weekend series against another playoff team in the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they win the series 2-1. But the most important thing is they lose yesterday. They lose 12-6, and they lose 12-6 because their starting pitcher didn't give them a chance. And their starting pitcher is Justin Verlander. And Clint, this is getting tight here. I'm thinking we're looking at maybe 3 more starts potentially for Justin Verlander today, or yesterday, excuse me. He goes 3 innings, 8 hits, 8 earned, 1 walk, no strikeouts.
Well, this is not good.
0 strikeouts from Justin Verlander in 75 pitches, only 4 swings and misses the entire time. His ERA is now at 5.30. His ERA in the 4 starts since he has returned, fellas, is nearing 10. That is where Justin Verlander is right now. Here is Verlander himself speaking on his performance yesterday against Arizona.
Felt good physically, but obviously the results were atrocious. guys hit a lot of good pitches, I thought.
All right, guys hit a lot of good pitches. It was 8-0 before you could flinch, Clint, and we've talked about this leading up. All right, hey, man, he's just finding his way. He's getting, hey, the pitch count, that's the most important thing. And we heard Dana say, yeah, he's kind of in this spring training thing. Well, Clint, it is September 9th. Playoffs start October 1st. Like, this is getting shaky. He is, like, clearly the weakest pitcher right now for this team. And I still think they probably look at getting him a start in the playoffs, but man, it is getting shaky right now.
You can't do it right now. It'd be right now, if the decision had to be made tomorrow, and
you wouldn't do it.
I can't do it.
Did you feel differently last week?
Last week my thought was he's still got a lot of work to do, but I was comfortable with the start, knowing that because you've got 6 quality starters, you would have somebody in that bullpen to piggyback if things went wrong. You could have a quick trigger with him, and you'd be okay. But the more we move forward, the more we see Verlander struggle, it just doesn't make sense to make that gamble, right? At this point, now, there's still 3 starts out there, possibly 3, maybe 4, 3, right? 20 games left.
I think 3. Yeah.
Okay. So if Verlander gets right, then the conversation completely changes. But where we sit right now, there's no way in hell that when it gets down to a 4-man rotation, that you can choose Verlander over anybody else in this rotation right now. And I mean anybody. He is the 6th best starter in this rotation right now. If you put a confidence poll out there, confidence meter out there, Verlander, if he doesn't come in 6th, I'll kiss your ass in town square at a city meeting. He at the end of the day, this is back-to-back starts, coming off of an injury where he missed a huge chunk of the season. He's an older pitcher. You've got youngsters that are absolutely dealing. And again, if you want to take Spencer Arrighetti off the table because Spencer struggled recently, that's fine. The other 4 guys have been significantly more impressive, and I don't know how you take them off of the out of the rotation if Verlander continues this right here. I don't right now. It does not look good for Justin Verlander.
All right, let's go around the horn real quick, and Mr. Milner, you can join in on this as well. Right now. And understanding, now you know it as well as I know, the postseason is a different ball game.
20 ball games. We got 20 left. 20 ball, we're up against it now.
But the postseason, like a start postseason against, who would it be right now? It would be the Twins right now. That's who they would face. They would have a 3-game set at home against the Minnesota Twins. This is different. You're going up against against other postseason level pitchers for the most part. Would you right now, around the horn, feel more comfortable with Spencer Arrigetti getting the start in a postseason match, a postseason game?
Well, it doesn't have to be Spencer though.
But I'm just rolling through. Okay. Spencer Arrigetti or Verlander. I'm Verlander. Yes.
No, I'm Spencer.
I think I'm with you, Ron. I think I'm Verlander.
I'm just saying. Well, you got to remember, this is
that's
postseason.
Tough,
this is different. Ronel Blanco or Justin Verlander.
I'm gonna tell you what. Skip me because I'm 5 for 5. The opposite.
So
you're
Blanco.
I'm Arrigetti and Blanco. Yes.
I am still Verlander. Probably still over Ronel.
There, it's close, but I think I'm with Clint. I go Blanco over Verlander there.
Okay, and then the rest, I think we cannot. Kikuchi, we'll go. You're Kikuchi. Kikuchi or Verlander right now?
I think I'd lean Kikuchi.
I'm still Verlander.
Lean? Mm-hmm. I'd be 10 toes deep. I'd be straining my hip flexors. My hip flexors, Ron.
To me.
You too?
To me, Hunter and Framber are obvious, you know, no good.
Nah, man.
For me. I'm hanging. I am a start away. From Verlander, just whoever it is, if it's the Angels, whoever it is next, whoever
Ron,
he
if
goes,
there was a series
I'm a start
started,
away from Luke from dropping.
Ron, if that 3-game series started tomorrow and a spotter decided to start Verlander in one of those 3 games,
I understand.
He would get absolutely cooked if it didn't work. No, I can't.
If it didn't work, of course it would.
I can't do it. It makes all the sense in the world in a 3-game series to start any of the top 5 guys right now over Verlander. Can't do it.
Yeah, they're pitching better than him. When you factor in the postseason, the moment, how big it is, and what the experience that he brings to the table, I would still have him over guys like Spencer, Blanco, and Kikuchi. Kikuchi. Oh. But I'm a start away. I'm a start away from Hey man, I can't do it. He's a good 2 starts away from being left clean off this damn postseason roster.
I can't do it, man. It's not like he was nails 3 months ago and just had a little hiccup here. I mean, he hadn't been the same, man.
No, I know it. Yesterday was.
I mean, it wasn't real convincing before the injury.
No, it's been rough, and he gets it early. He gets it early where his team doesn't give a chance. Was it 8 early this time? 5 early his last start. Yeah, I get it, but it's just something about that experience and what that brings to the table. That is our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Stroud takes a knee, and it is over. The Texans win on opening day, knocking off the Colts on the road, 29-27, 1-0, with the Bears up next on Sunday Night Football.
That's right, they win 29-27. Obviously, Joe Mixon and that offensive line were big. Stephon Diggs had 2 touchdown catches in this game. Nico Collins, more on him in a bit, was really, really good in this performance. I would throw this to you first, Clint. How do you describe your feeling on that W? That win yesterday, first of the year, was a tight one against the Colts that really, when you look at it, certain plays that occurred or were missed could have put this game either way. How would you describe that first win?
Season-changing, narrative-changing. They are now a Super Bowl-contending team. That took you from a good young team that had a nice run last year to, well, do they really deserve to be in the Super Bowl conversation? Do they really deserve to be in the elite conversation? To you are square in the middle of it, and I don't know. I'll be honest with you, Ron. I don't know that there's a more convincing team out there right now that is in that conversation. I mean, with the exception of the Chiefs, just because they've won 2, I sound like an idiot saying, well, they're not in the conversation. But like when you look at what the Texans bring to the table, C.J. Stroud led the damn league last year in passing yards per game and fewest interceptions. They've added a weapon to that. They've now they had two receivers last year that were well on pace to be a 1,000-yard receiver. The one that stayed healthy gave you damn near 1,400. They've now added Stephon Diggs, who, from a production standpoint, has been one of the most productive receivers in the league the last 4 to 6 years. And now, all of a sudden, they've got an offensive line that can dominate the line of scrimmage. They got an offensive line that can push around a really, really good front. They've got a running back that can go give you $160. Yeah, man, this was an unbelievably convincing, narrative-changing, conversation-changing win by the Houston Texans. It's as convincing a win as I've seen the Texans have in the C.J. Stroud era.
I thought it was a really mature win.
It was that, too.
I thought it was a mature win, and I think a big confidence booster inside the locker room, right? I think everybody believes in C.J. big time. But I don't know that everybody believed in the run game or the ability to close out a game running the ball the way they did.
No, anybody that did was...
I'm talking about inside the doors, inside the locker room.
Yeah, but even inside the locker room, anybody that believed that was going to happen was bold-faced lying. They were betting on the come. It was a bet. It was a roll of the dice. There was no reason. There's nothing on film as a group of offensive linemen. There's nothing on film... From a play-calling perspective with Bobby Slowick and a coaching perspective of getting this run game rolling, there's nothing that said dominate the line of scrimmage and $160. Ron, they just turned into a team that I thought that they would never be. They just turned into the team that D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick left on 49ers. The West Coast. They just turned into them yesterday.
They proved they could
run the football to that level. And now, look, Joe Mixon ain't Christian McCaffrey. But there's some damn good abilities there.
Yeah, we'll see. Like we'll see if they can continue to do that throughout the year. If that is something that they can kind of lay their hat on. We're going to run the football.
Amen.
Big time, and not even to 160 or not. It's more than that. Hell, everybody, because they got a good contribution from Damian Pierce. They got some yards from Tank Dell. They got some from CJ. So they. They ran for got to be near 200 yards, if they didn't eclipse that. But for me, the maturity is you go on the road, you go and get the team, and you did what you had to do. Because there is a thought, and I've seen it on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. There is a thought of what would happen if the Colts had more possessions, but the Colts didn't have more possessions because the Texans didn't allow it to happen. And look, they dominated the game.
Every team that has had the football ran against them dominantly, prayed for more possessions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, damn, if you just would have had more possessions. Well, hell, that's what a good run game does. It limits your possession.
The Texans had 73 plays, and the Colts had 46. 73 plays ran. Your defense is out there repeatedly. And they had 46. Now, they did that man had 9 completions for 200-plus yards.
He had 3 for $160.
$171. He Whatever had 3 for $171. But they didn't get more possessions because they could not stop the Texans on third down, fourth down at all. They could not stop them to get off the field. So I thought a very mature win. We'll see if they can continue to build on this and keep doing this. But big-time 2-point win on the road in the division against an opponent that has been won.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, the big news after the Texans game, but your boy Jerry likes to really push this thing up against it. Jerry did this about an hour before kickoff in Cleveland.
Glory hole.
Good God, what the hell is going on in Cleveland? But an hour before kickoff in Cleveland, Dak Prescott signed the biggest contract in the history of the sport. 4 years, $240 million, and he edges Deshaun Watson in guaranteed money by $1 million. $231 million guaranteed, the most ever. $60 million per year, that's the most per year ever. The highest paid player in NFL history, Dak Prescott. And then he came out, and then they beat the hell out of the Cleveland Browns. Also with that, do you think Jerry made a mistake here?
No. Look, I mean, you're not going to make
so long. Well, they played with it.
I don't think you're going to make. You can never make a mistake, you know, paying a quarterback that can go out there and win 12 games for you. Now, look, I was dead wrong. I thought Jerry was going to dig his heels in and say, if you can't win playoff games, your ass is up out of here. We're going to change our ways, right? Clearly, he wasn't. I was dead wrong on what Jerry's intentions were. Now, let's get back to where I was right. Where I'm right about I'm right about Jerry Jones is his ass is going to do everything he possibly can to keep that star on the ticker on every sports talk show out there. He did it with CeeDee Lamb. Once he got the CeeDee Lamb deal done, that blew up. Boom. Put that behind. All of a sudden, things quiet down. No, it doesn't, because Dak Prescott ain't got no deal. So everybody's talking about the Cowboys. He literally, this may be his biggest PR advertising move ever of keeping the Cowboys on front of mind, top of mind, literally to the last second. And he got his quarterback signed. I don't think you could ever go wrong signing a quarterback that's proven to be able to play the way that he has. To me, at some point, like, as a franchise, it's got to be about playoff wins. Like, you've done everything you can to get you there. So I would have understood either way. And I thought he was going to dig his heels in. He didn't. Now let's see if Dak can get over the hump with Mike McCarthy and they can win some playoff
games. And I'll say this, Dak played it perfectly. Hey, man, we'll figure out what happened. He's low-key, didn't scare. He was in there the whole way. And he knows as a quarterback, he can't do what CeeDee Lamb did and just hold out and sit out and not be there for his team to win. He played it perfectly. The fans, I'm sure, you know, outside of the playoff stuff, love him for how he handled this thing.
No question.
And the intangible part, Dak Prescott is one of the best we've ever seen. And he showed it again here.
Look, here's the deal. The intangibles are clearly there. And Dak Prescott is a lifelong Cowboy fan. Grew up in South Louisiana. I don't think there was ever been a doubt that Dak didn't want to spend his entire career as a Dallas Cowboy quarterback. The one thing Dak understands, now it hadn't affected his money because he's still setting the market, but the one thing he understands is the value of being that dude and that franchise is second to none. And he stayed patient. He remained very, very, very likable throughout the process, and they got it done. Maybe he had some inside knowledge from Jerry saying, hey, don't worry about it, man. We're going to get it done one way or another. But, boy, $60 million a year.
But ain't back down, man.
$60 million a year, your ass better go out there and win some playoff games, Chief.
I don't pay attention to what he say. Long.
He's been there long enough to know Jerry. He's been in that building long enough to know that Jerry. Like I said, if you've ever spent any time around Jerry Jones.
I'm surprised Jerry ain't told him.
He may have told him, but I'm telling you, Jerry may have told him, say, hey, man, look.
That's what I'm saying. He may have told him.
I'm going to give $42 million worth of free advertisement over this, man. You just need to chill out.
I was going to say, Jerry might have told him years ago, hey, man. This ain't personal.
I'm going to give you $60 million a year. Let me make $45 or $50 in this free advertising leading up to it. Just play along with it.
All right, coming up, we do this every single Monday, and there's a few, and you can jump in with yours as well. Our players of the game. Our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute player of the game. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Reaction Monday, also a Mad Dog Monday. We're going to get to our players of the game. Real quick, Mike Florio reporting this, fellas. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has been sued again. The latest case arising from an alleged incident in October 2020.
Wow.
Accuses him of sexual assault and battery while on a date.
My God, man.
Well, on a date, huh?
This is...
2020.
Wow.
Still coming through.
Wow.
Good Lord, after his performance yesterday.
I had not seen that report. This is wild.
My man's going to get this contract and move to a foreign country.
He's going to get this contract and
move. He's going to end up in jail.
He's got the guaranteed money.
Or they're going to cut him and he's going to finish the contract.
Like, this is the last time he's a starter, right?
Ron, Dan Orlovsky's already calling for Jameis Winston, which I don't completely
disagree. It's not crazy.
Bro, you watch him, man. Ron, I'm sitting here and I'm watching. I mean, I'm doing the post-game show last night, and we got it on the NFL Red Zone on the TV. And so I pulled up on my iPad the Cowboy-Cleveland game. Just because clearly Sean's reading Deshaun Watson's stats out, I'm like, it can't be that bad, man. There's got to be something, right? The first play I see, Ron, I mean, the Cowboys Zimmer brings a basic blitz off the slot receiver. The slot receiver is Amari Cooper. And Deshaun throws a.
Is that the one who throws back arm to his bicep?
Behind him. Yeah, it's like, I mean, y'all, they're not even.
Elijah Moore was open too on net play too in the outside.
They're not even able to execute the simplest of hot reads, man. Not to mention on the big balls. Like,
is it just him?
Well, I mean,
or is it all of them?
Yeah, I think it's like ultimately you're only going to go as your quarterback goes, bro. I just like there is a buzzkill, a bad vibe, it's just not like that football team. If they just had a quarterback that gave a rip, if they had a quarterback that was in the right mind space, the right head space to just lead and care and play quality football, you don't have to be great. Just be average, man. They could win a lot of football games, but they've got a dude out there that every time the camera goes on him, it's like he is staring off into space, man. Whether the coach is talking to him or not, like it's crazy to think. Knowing what we know, it's not crazy to think where he's at, but to think that the guy that we watched in Houston, just I'm talking about on the field, forget the off the field stuff, on the field, the ability to play football and escape everything that's going on in the real world for 3 hours, that guy is now turned into a guy that just stares off in space, that's emotionless, that's just lost, man. It's crazy to think that could happen, man.
Yeah, he's.
I mean,
wow. It looks over. But it looks like he may have some more trouble.
It's over for everybody except in Browns. They got to pay him another. I think it's $180, $170 something.
Yeah. Well, he looks like he may have some more trouble with him.
Right.
May try to get out of it with this.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some level. But if Deshaun's folks did the contract right,
which seems like David,
I'm sure this is covered and addressed, and you know any other lawsuits that could pop, I would imagine Deshaun knew were out there, and he probably got it excluded from the contract.
Yeah. All right, let's do our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute players of the game. Clint, I'll go first here. Mine is not a player. I started off the show today with a standing ovation for this group, and my players of the game are the five dudes up front. And listen, we've talked about them. We have had concerns and fair ones about them, and I've been at the top of the list on the concerns of that offensive line. But Tunzel, Kenyon Green, Juice, Shaq, Titus, they were the best I've seen since I've been here in the fifth season covering the Houston Texans. And they dominated. We've asked, could they run the ball well enough to complement the offense? Check. Could they run the ball at all when the other team knows that they're going to run the ball? Check. They ran it at will, down their throats. It didn't matter. Yes, Joe Mixon was big in this game, but, I mean, it was easy pickings for him with what they did up front on the offensive line. So my player of the game is players, is all of them, all five of them up front. They were spectacular.
Hello.
I love where your head's at, Ron. I love where your head's at because I agree wholeheartedly. My biggest fear on a reaction Monday to what we just watched was Joe Mixon, and we don't acknowledge, and we don't first and foremost acknowledge the job that this offensive line did for a team, for an offensive line that has never shown the ability to do it. For an offensive line that you got to ask, is there chemistry issues? Is there coaching issues? What in the hell's going on with this group? You got three first rounders. You got a Super Bowl champion. You've got a second rounder at center. I mean, you got some dudes, man. What the hell's going on? For them to go out there and in the first live action put that on tape, it was unbelievable, Ron. Since I can't take the O-line, I'm going to take Joe Mixon. I mean, Joe Mixon, you're right, man. Them big boys up front did most of the work. But Joe Mixon proved to be an absolute difference maker. Whether you look at it, hey, man, this guy's got experience in this system. Or you look, hey, this guy's got the power to run inside, the speed to bounce it outside. Or you look at it like just overall skill set, this guy's got the ability to make something out of nothing. And he is a punishing finisher. However you want to look at Joe Mixon, when you watched him yesterday, you had to be impressed. So I'm going to ride with Joe Mixon.
All right, Tyler, who's your player of the game?
Real quick, I'll go with Nico Collins, man. This dude is becoming a Colts killer, much like T.Y. Hilton was a Texans killer back in his day. He is going into Indy and seemingly just doing whatever he wants to Indianapolis, and I love to see it. I'm going Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico was he was special yesterday. He was special yesterday. It wasn't just CJ throwing him open. He went up and made big time plays. And again, yeah, I'll just say this. With the offensive line, see, you messed up and showed us. You'd have messed up and showed us.
The bars moved a little bit.
You'd have messed up and showed us what you're capable of. So if there's a point where y'all just up here getting worked over, like, we can point to, nah, y'all handled DeForest Buckner. Y'all handled that front seven up there. And that's the expectation. So amazing performance by many yesterday. But the offensive line, Nico Collins and Joe Mixon get our Players of the Game. That is our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. Man Eye Institute. See life better. All right, coming up as we get through things, concern meter around the league. Let's look at some other things around the league. And we got to take a moment and look at something that was absolutely ridiculous in that Texans-Colts game yesterday. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is a Reaction Monday. Also a Mad Dog Monday. If you missed it, we went ahead and put those away. Punished those bad boys the first segment. No complaints this year of, oh, look at all those bottles. No.
You know, I usually don't let that kind of peer pressure, those kind of comments get at me. I'll be honest with you, I let that one kind of got at me. So I said, you know what, we got to be better. I mean, I'm not above recognizing. Although I didn't appreciate the way that they threw our bottles away and kind of came at us last year, I do.
The way he shook your heads at us.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they're too good, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think less of Lopez and Reg at this point. I don't know Reg real well yet, but the fact that he turned his nose up and bailed on a little MD 2020. Again, if it were me, now I was raised a little different, but if it were me, and like let's say that at the crosstalk, Reg and John were doing this little Mad Dog bit, at some point in time, I would be inclined to be like, hey, man, let me in on this. Like, y'all can't just do this in front of us and not let me have a little something. Even just give me a sip. Pull a Ron Hughley. Give me a styrofoam cup. Pour me a little bit in that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Something.
Say that.
I think that's what we should do next time. To keep us from having to bubble the whole bottle, let's pour a little bit of each bottle into a little styrofoam cup and tell those guys they got to join us. Come on, man. We got to bring them in, man. We got to bring them in, Ron. I mean, you got two dudes with Houston. You got two dudes with Houston roots, man.
I don't even want to give it to them. Like they acted towards us.
I mean,
shook us off.
Yeah, I mean, you got to overlook that.
Yeah, they don't deserve it.
No, stop it, man. You got to overlook it. You got to be better, be bigger and better.
Man, Lopez needs to be focusing on the coffee rings he leaves on all these tables around the studios rather than
Lopez
Mad Dogs.
Lopez needs to drink some Mad Dogs. And maybe he would quit leaving.
That's a messy son buck, I tell you what.
Something that I didn't think I would ever announce because I thought it already happened. I feel bad now saying this. But James Earl Jones died.
What?
I thought he was dead.
Are you serious?
I thought James was dead too.
I thought he was dead 5 years ago.
Oh, I knew he was alive, but it is the first time hearing of it.
93 years old. We lost James Earl Jones.
Talk about a legend of a career, man.
My son.
He was Darth Vader.
Sure, whatever. Mine is my son work.
He was in Sandlot.
He was in Coming to America, my favorite movie.
Coming to America?
Field of Dreams.
Damn, Darth Vader.
Apparently he was in Lion King, one of the shows.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, he was Mufasa.
Yeah, it was Mustafa. Yes.
Mufasa and Darth Vader. That alone on your resume.
Actually, he was King Jaffe Jofa for others out there listening, let alone.
If y'all knew how many times I've watched Lion King in the last month.
Lion King.
That was my most watched as a child.
I mean, speaking of Lion King, Scar, one of my top three villains of all time.
It's a good one.
No question.
I hate that. God, I hated him. I hated him. Oh, that ass. I was about to say ass hat. I hated him, along with him and Old Dog. I hated Scar.
You know, Liv can't.
What he made that kid think he killed his father the whole time.
What a real POS, man. You know, like
but then he learned about Hakuna Matata.
Liv has a real time grasping that.
I've hated Jeremy Irons from the start. Once I found out who he was, played the role. Sorry,
Liv can't grasp that Simba in one is because you know Simba grows up pretty quick.
Like yeah, he grows up. I just can't wait to be king.
There you go. Yeah, so Simba grew up pretty quick, yeah, and Liv just can't figure out how that happened. Like she just what happened to the baby?
He's walking across, and then bam,
he grew up. Like unfortunately, baby, you're gonna grow up one day, and it makes me sad.
Hakuna Matata. Hakuna.
I swear before God, I thought it's
so awesome. Liv sings it, and then what is it?
Well, I thought he was dead.
What's the rest of that main song?
Hakuna Matata. It means no worries.
Yeah, there you go. She'll sing that part of Hakuna Matata. She'll
for
repeat like
the
that.
Rest of your day.
Yeah, that's it.
It's our problem free
philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Yes. But my baby girl sings the hell out of that in the back seat. Boy, that is awesome.
I can't believe we lost James Earl Jones, man. Damn.
I thought we already lost him.
Rest in peace, Mufasa.
Straight up, man. Legend.
King Joffe Jofa. I thought he was already dead. Coming to America. King Joffe Jofa. Quit looking at me. Shake your head like that.
No, I'm not shaking. That's a good one.
I thought you didn't know. Think, I thought you were like,
no,
I
no,
you were
no,
like,
no.
I'm
just,
trying to think what show that I James Earl Jones really did it for me.
Sandlot, I think you mentioned those when he was blind.
No.
I know I'm going to be watching all the Star Wars over again now with
Definitely
this news.
Definitely was not Star Wars.
It was Darth Vader, man. That's legend.
I've never seen a single Star Wars movie.
So I think it's not coming to America.
Coming to America is a good one, but no. Field of Dreams was never big for me. Good show, but never real big for me. It had to be a one-off. I'm digging. I'll find it, boys.
Are you messing around with your bathers? I know I do. Damn. Boy, I thought it, man.
Golly,
93.
Boy,
I thought we lost it.
He has a resume. Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, yeah, he was in Clear and Present Danger.
Wow.
He was. Hey, can we sit back?
Patriot Games?
Yep, Roots. Roots. He was in that too.
Good gosh.
He was in a few of them. From the text line, guys, move on. No, you move on. We just lost a legend that I thought was dead five years ago.
We just sang Hakuna Matata, and you want us to move on? You need to get a life.
Grumpy.
I want to check and make sure he's really this. He just died. I mean, I don't want to. And I know the Associated Press is pretty good, but I mean, I just want to make sure he's really dead. By the way, can we sit back? And I know you had to appreciate this. Can we listen? We saw a lot of things happen yesterday. The throw on 3rd and 11 on the sideline, where it had to be put, the perfect throw. Right there from C.J. Stroud was amazing. C.J. Stroud converted a third or fourth down on his knees to Brevin Jordan. But I know some of y'all may come at me a certain way for this, but that damn throw that Anthony Richardson had to Pierce for the first touchdown. Clint!
That was impressive.
Hold on. What in the hell? He slipped. And then had to. By the way, that field, they got it. I don't know what that was about, but he slipped, and then he. I mean, that's 65. 68. 68? Was it 68 in the air on the money? Now he couldn't hit. He couldn't hit Mitchell twice, floating down the middle of the field alone. But he nailed that. That's one of the best throws. I watched that probably 20 times. I could not. Could not believe that was. I mean, that was one of the best throws I've ever seen in my life.
It has to be. I mean, there's maybe two or three dudes on this planet that can make that throw. I mean, he slipped and he was. I call it a drift by a quarterback, where you never lose your posture. You're upright in the pocket, but you're drifting.
And he's
backwards.
Being pressured. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Danielle Hunter was giving it to that right tackle, so the quarterback had to drift backwards to a point where the original TV angle, you can't even see Anthony Richardson other than the ball come out. Like it just shoots out of a damn. Out of a cannon, 68 yards in the air. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. But we talked about this though, Ron. Right? When we talked about how this game would unfold, it's like there are going to be like wow, unbelievably athletic or unbelievably big arm type of throws and plays in this game. If that's what you give up, cool. What you can't afford to give up is you can't let them carve you up with the RPO game. You can't let them carve you up with the quarterback read run game. You damn sure can't let them carve you up with Jonathan Taylor running the ball downhill between the tackles. Like, that's what you can't do. As long as Anthony Richardson is healthy. Now, I hope he graduates to him and Steichen graduate to being playing a little bit more of a winning brand of quarterback, if you will, that you can rely on and count on. But that you better believe that there are going to be 2 to 3 huge plays made. If he's healthy for four quarters.
That was nuts, man. But Clint, like, I know he's going to make them in the run game and then, like, maybe throw. But that was on the money, being hit, slipping, not having his feet right.
Yeah, man.
Like, in your heyday, I don't know how far you could throw it out there.
Slipping and backpedaling?
You got to have your feet underneath you.
I could crow hop and I ain't throwing it 68. I mean, that may be the longest. I think I threw at your best. I got 171 one time, but that was like at practice, crow hopping, wind at my back.
Accurate?
We were just long distance throwing. It damn sure wasn't in action. No. Look, I'm going to tell you, man. I bet you in my heyday, I could have given you 45 to 48 yards. I mean, he threw that thing 68 yards in the air. I had to
go back and look to see where he was.
The crazy thing, he'd have been better off like running to his left and torquing his body up and just letting it all rip. He backpedaled, didn't even that was all arm. That's the crazy part is there was no rotational power generated because he couldn't in that moment. Like that's I'm gonna tell you, Ron, I don't know Aaron Rodgers makes that throw. I don't know if Pat Mahomes makes that throw. Josh could make it.
Pat and Josh are maybe the only.
I don't know, man. You got like I don't know if Pat I 68 saw, yards in the
I
air,
saw,
bro.
I saw Pat hit Tyreek 70 in a preseason game in Atlanta. Yeah. But he wasn't slipping. But I'm just slipping like that. I think Josh.
The sheer Pat, power that Josh.
Maybe Herbert. Herbert has had some crazy throws like that. You know who else is weird? Like Lamar has a whip on him that
right. I don't know if he can get it 68, but you're right.
But some of those guys, but not many. Damn sure not accurate like that. That was the part. I mean, it was in stride. Like you watch that play. Like if I'm Shane, I've got to throw a couple of computers around every time I see River Point High School's own Mitchell running streaking down the sideline, and he's just completely missed him. Like if I'm Shane Steichen, you make that throw, and Mitchell's streaking down either sideline, and we can't convert that sucker.
Yeah.
Woo, something else. All right, what you got coming up at the 4?
All right, I stirred up the Houston Texans fan base, especially my old long-term faithfuls now. We got to circle back to it. This is a perfect time to circle back to a comment I made about a month ago that really had folks stirred up. Is Joe Mixon the best running back to ever put on a Texans uniform? Y'all think about that. Stew on that for a minute. Also, the ball that Ron just talked about, there were three big balls, three throws for 171 yards. Really, what kept the Colts in this game. D'Amico Ryan spoke on it. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 16.